Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
I have a friend, Eric O'Brien, who hosts the Smooth, Relaxing, and Easy program that is heard on another radio station. And Eric gets very frustrated because he said people think the 12 days of Christmas are the 12 days before Christmas. And he says that's not the case. Christmas season, he says, goes from Christmas Eve to the Epiphany. It is not the 12th. There is nothing in the Bible about Rudolph, about reindeer, about Santa Claus in either the Old Testament or the New Testament. Maybe our guest this morning will help us. She is the Reverend Dr. Moni McIntyre. She is priest in charge at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. She is also faculty at Duquesne University. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us. This is not the busiest time of year for clergy. I think that's the Easter season, but this is a busy time of year for clergy, isn't it?
It is, especially because of all the people who want something from us.
Like talk show hosts, probably.
Oh, I was thinking people who really want money, and the cold weather needs are acute.
As people are hearing this, if they're listening on Sunday morning, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and what do you talk about generally in your homily on the fourth Sunday of Advent?
Well, because the readings include the Gospel of Matthew, I usually focus on that, the yes of Mary, the Mother of God, and the support of Joseph, the poor confused man who couldn't figure out what was going on, but supported her anyway, like so many dads who children do things and they're just there to pay and support.
What is the Advent season? Why do we have an Advent season before Christmas? We never hear anybody talking about the Advent season.
Advent is the four Sundays and a couple of days before Christmas, and it really celebrates or observes the triple coming of Jesus the Christ. The first time in history, which we celebrate on Christmas Day, and then this time, the in-between times, which is the coming of Jesus in our own lives every day, all the time, when we notice. And then the third is at the end of the world, so the eschaton. So that last one is the first Sunday, the theme of the first Sunday of Advent, the end of the world, pardon me, end of the world stuff. And so this fourth Sunday is really talking, moving right into that Christmas story, the coming of Jesus in history.
Reverend Dr. Moni McIntyre is priest in charge at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. You will be having how many services for Christmas?
Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock.
Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. They are at the corner of Walnut Street and 8th Avenue in downtown McKeesport. They also stream their services on Facebook at St. Stephen's McKeesport. You can find them there. And then on Sunday morning, your worship is at what time?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Well, one service, Holy Eucharist service at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings at St. Stephen's, but the Christmas service will be at 7 o'clock. Am I correct in remembering that this is also the restart of the liturgical calendar for the Christians, for the Western Christian Church? Christmas is?
It is.
Okay,
right.
What does that mean? When we talk about a liturgical calendar, what are we talking about?
Well, liturgy means the work of the people. And so it's when are we beginning our church year? The academic year starts in August or September. We have the calendar year, which starts in January. We have the fiscal year, which can start in October 1st, or some people started in June. And so we have our liturgical, our church year, and it begins with anticipating the birth of Christ. And it ends with Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the liturgical year.
I want to get a little bit more into your path to your vocation, because it was a little bit, I don't want to say unusual, but I think all of us have winding paths to where we get to where we wind up. And talk a little bit about your childhood. Whereabouts did you grow up at?
I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. I entered the community of the Sisters Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in Monroe, Michigan. And I was there for 2 years. And so
you were planning after high school to become a nun, if I remember correctly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I left after 2 years. That was in the 60s, and it was a pretty crazy and wild time. And so I finished my education at Mercy College in Detroit, my bachelor's. I got a master's in English, and then I got a master's in religious studies, and then I got a master's in divinity, and finally a PhD at Toronto. Meanwhile, I had returned to my community, and it was altogether 25 years as a nun.
And you were at a teaching high school for a long time.
I taught high school for 11 years, and I moved here after I got my PhD to Duquesne, and I was in the theology department until 2000, when they threw me out because I got ordained a priest and ordained a deacon. No, I was ordained a priest at that time. And so that was in 2001, they threw me out. I was ordained in 2000, December. In fact, I'm just celebrating 25 years as a priest.
Congratulations.
Thank you. After 25 years as a sister, so...
You've had two complete vocational careers then.
Right, right. Plus, I taught at Duquesne. I started teaching at Duquesne in 1990. I retired, but I'm still an adjunct. I retired in 2019.
Okay.
So that was 29 years. They offered a buyout, and I said, oh, okay. So I left that. But, so I've been around the block. So once I taught it, I began with 4 degrees in theology. I was teaching theology at Duquesne. They threw me out of there. They wanted to fire me. But I had tenure and a couple of lawyers, and so I was able to keep a job. I was, quote, reassigned to the Graduate Center for Social and Public Policy. In 2015, it closed, and the sociology chair said to me, oh, Monty, would you teach for us? My PhD was in social ethics. So I've been teaching sociology ever since. I stayed full-time until 19, and I've been an adjunct teaching protest and social movements this semester.
Had you ever, until you were called to St. Stephen's in McKeesport, had you ever been a parish priest before?
Oh, I was at Holy Cross Homewood for 16 and a half years.
Okay.
And then I was an interim at Highland Park, St. Andrew's. Bishop McConnell decided I should go to McKeesport. I live in Oakland, so that's very convenient, you know. So there I am.
Monty McIntyre is our guest this morning. She is the priest in charge at St. Stephen's in Episcopal Church in McKeesport. And I'm going to ask you to sort of explain what that Episcopal Church means. We are finding that a large number of people aren't familiar with what these different denominations mean and what the different faith traditions are. But you are, I guess, an increasing number of what they call bivocational clergy, meaning that on a Sunday you are pastoring or ministering at a church, but then during the week you have another career. Is that increasingly common in the Protestant church?
I think it is, because there are so few churches that can support a member of the clergy, let alone more than one.
Let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to ask you about this distinction, because people throw these words around. I just said the Protestant church, but there are many Protestant churches. There are small C Catholics and large C Catholics. And then you, the denomination you are in, the Episcopal Church, is part of something called an Anglican Communion. And I think at some point it's like talking about options on your car or drug advertisements. The words just kind of fly around and we don't know what they mean anymore. Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Reverend Dr. Monty McIntyre is our guest this morning. She is the priest in charge at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. We're talking about her. We're also talking about the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas just a few days away and what that means for Western Christianity all over the world. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Mines on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Christmas is just around the corner. The Reverend Dr. Moni McIntyre is our guest this morning. She is the priest in charge at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. You can find them online at ststephensmckeesport.com. They also stream their services on Facebook at St. Stephen's McKeesport. Dr. McIntyre today will be having a Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock. That's December 24th. And then their normal Sunday worship is at 10 a.m. on Sundays. There's also sometimes, when I was a kid, they referred to it as Orthodox Christmas or Russian Christmas. And there's also Orthodox Easter and Russian Easter, they call it sometimes. I refer to it as Western Christianity. There are two different branches of Christianity, correct?
In fact, there's really many, many.
Many, many, many. Yes.
Yeah. That was the East and the West in 1066 when things split.
And they use different. We were talking about the liturgical calendar earlier in the half hour, and there are two different liturgical calendars.
There are.
Okay.
There
for churches that follow the loosely called the Eastern Constantinople, and those that follow the Western loosely Rome.
Right.
Many of the, and I am Episcopalian myself, but like you, was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. Many of the traditions of the Episcopal Church follow those of the early Roman Catholic Church. Is that more or less accurate?
Oh, yes, yes. Rome has kind of set the pace because Rome was the original, and people have broken off from Rome. Yes.
When we talk about this Anglican Communion, and sometimes the Church of England gets thrown in there, and there's the Episcopal Church in the United States and in the Caribbean. How do these things connect to one another?
Well, Anglican just means England.
Uh-huh.
That's Angles in England. And so the worldwide Anglican Communion is the loosely structured body.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many, many groups that work. So in the Catholic Church, there's many dioceses.
Mm-hmm.
We have dioceses. But ours tends to run on a national church.
Mm-hmm.
For the Catholics, there is a pope, the big guy in charge. We have no pope. We have the, pardon me, the Archbishop of Canterbury, but he is not a pope. He has, or she in this case now.
I was going to ask you about that, but thank you. Uh-huh.
She doesn't have any pope kind of rights. There are many different branches, you could say, or variations of Anglicans. The Episcopal Church here in this country came about naturally where two or more are gathered, there will be a fight.
And so I've heard where two or more are gathered, they will have a drink and there will be a fifth, is what I had heard. But go ahead.
Well, there's that as
well. Yes.
Yeah. So when this particular fight occurred between the U.S. and England, the English bishops would not support the Americans unless they were loyalists. Well, the Americans...
Loyalists to the King of England, to the English crown.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so many wouldn't do that. But they wanted the church. So instead of getting England to consecrate bishops to send over here to ordain priests to get the church going, they had to go to Scotland. Because the Scottish Episcopal Church would ordain bishops for us here in this country. So we became the Episcopal Church. Other places are the Anglican Church. Canada, for instance, is the Anglican Church. So we're related, similar, but not identical.
Episcopal, for people who don't know that, just simply means having a bishop, correct?
Right. Yeah, episkopos in the Greek means bishop, overseer, supervisor, that kind of thing. That is in scripture. You had mentioned before about Christmas is not in the Bible. No,
well, I said Santa Claus is not in the Bible. So Christ's birth certainly is in the Bible, but,
right, okay,
but all of these traditions that have grown up around what we do at Christmas in the United States certainly is not anywhere in my Bible, at least.
You won't find candy canes, you're right.
Yeah, no candy canes, no stockings, nothing.
Nothing like that, no. But the birth of Jesus the Christ It's certainly there. Right.
How many of, for our listeners, Reverend Dr. Moni McIntyre is our guest this morning. She is an adjunct faculty member now at Duquesne University. I was going to say you're semi-retired, but you don't seem semi-retired. You seem way too busy for someone who's semi-retired. She's also a priest in charge at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. For the listener, how many of the books in the New Testament, the gospel, have the story of the birth of Christ?
Only two.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mark and John do not.
And how different are the ones in Matthew and Luke then? How much?
They're quite similar. Mm-hmm. They're similar. They change the details a little.
What do we learn, generally speaking, from those that Matthew and Luke from, and Luke is probably the one that people are maybe most familiar with.
I would think so. Anybody who shows up to church on Christmas Eve is going to probably hear Luke, not Matthew.
Okay.
Luke is longer, more detailed. That's Luke's style.
True or false? Is Jesus' actual historical birthday December 25th?
False.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we don't know. But it
we don't know is the answer.
We don't know. It very well could have been in the spring, but because it's the solstice, December 21st, the sun's birthday, Jesus, the Son of God, it kind of went into that idea. They like that tune in the bleak midwinter, you know, that kind of stuff. So. Yeah.
It certainly makes for a more vivid story, but you have shepherds out watching their flocks. Would they be doing that in the winter? I've never been a shepherd, but it doesn't seem very likely that they would have the flock out in the middle of the winter. You have the census happening, the reason that Mary and Joseph were traveling in the first place during that story, which I believe also historically would have happened in the spring or the summer. So,
so there's a good reason to think it wasn't December 25th, but we've settled the Western world has settled on a date, and it's as good as any.
We had to pick a date, and they picked a date. We have another. The time goes quickly. We have another break coming up. But the Christmas story from Matthew and Luke. What do we learn about that, or what should we be when we're hearing that story? Yes, it's a story about Mary giving birth in this manger. But what is the real meaning?
Well, I think one thing that is the welcoming the stranger, because that whole notion of there's no room in the inn, and so our whole stance as Christians should be to welcome the stranger. And we see that writ large in this story. We also see the idea of, if you're going to follow your deepest desire, what calls you to give the most to others by way of which you give the most to yourself, it's going to be expensive. It's going to be costly. It's going to take something from you. And so I think that's one of the biggest things. But the notion of the incarnation, God becoming a human being, is the most significant of all. That God took on human flesh. So human flesh, to be human, is good. Every human, a little baby born out of wedlock like Jesus, is good, is human. And so it's an affirmation of not just human life, but how we ought to treat one another. And that story certainly tells us how poor and well people treated the Christ child, so to speak.
In literature and in fiction, a lot of times people talk about foreshadowing, you know, things that you know are going to happen later on. One of the things that always strikes me about the Christmas story and the chapters afterwards is, of course, Mary and Joseph then have to flee. King Herod learns that this Messiah has been born, or this Savior has been born, and he decides this is going to usurp his throne as the king, and he has to kill, he has to find this child and kill it. And so Mary and Joseph have to flee the country, which, foreshadowing, as Christians believe, that Christ is going to be crucified as an adult. What are some areas in the Old Testament that foreshadow the birth of Jesus?
The whole prophetic tradition, we have the reading from Isaiah, which is the reading for this Sunday, chapter 7. Then Isaiah said, verse 13, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you weary mortals that you weary my God also?" Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. So we have this notion of the choice of a young woman. It's an affirmation of women, besides other things, and an affirmation of the value of children, both of which our society has pretty systematically denied. So that's one. We have many things the whole prophetic tradition, the prophets foretelling the coming of the Messiah or Messianic age, some people would understand it, but the Messiah as the one who saves the people essentially from themselves and hopes to avert their vision to be on God, on the good, on loving one another as opposed to seeing what they can get from everybody. So there's a whole, the Old Testament tradition is huge, also known as the Hebrew scriptures. Old Testament is a word that's objectionable in some ways.
Sure.
Because it sounds like it can be thrown away. If it's old, God, right, get rid of it. Well, that's not the point. It's the Hebrew scriptures, what led up to this moment. And then we have the Greek scriptures, which are, you know, the Bible or the gospel and epistles and all that written in Greek. So
when we come back, I want to hear more about the parish you're serving now, St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport, and some of the initiatives that have gotten underway from I was going to say the grassroots, but it's really from the pews, from your parishioners, some of the outreach they've done, for instance, the meeting people who are grieving, for instance. Talk about some of those things, okay?
Perfect.
And we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Carnegie Free Library of McKeesport welcomes Latterman Family Health Center for Talk with a Doc at 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 7th. During Talk with the Doc, a doctor from Latterman Family Health Center of UPMC will answer questions about your health in the new year. That program is free, 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 7th, at the Carnegie Library of McKeesport, 1507 Library Avenue. For more information, mckeesportlibrary.org, or call 412-672-0625.
Wishing you the happiest of holidays.
Tip City Online Radio.
Back for a few more minutes with Reverend Dr. Moni McIntyre. We skipped over entirely. You had a vocation in the Navy too. Is that correct? Tell us a little bit about your Navy service.
Well, I was at the home of a friend, and I was a nun at the time, and I got a message. She got a thing in the mail, join the Naval Reserve. Well, through a long process, I won't bore you with now, I joined the Navy Reserve as well.
While you were a nun.
While I was a nun. Uh-huh. I was enlisted for 2 years, and then I received a commission, and I stayed in the Navy for 28 years. I retired as a captain, and during that time, I was a line officer, and I was appointed in 2000 as the Surgeon General's ethics consultant. My PhD is in ethics. So that was great fun. Your taxpayers, thank you, taxpayers, sent me all over the world to teach ethics to physicians, which I still do. In fact, next month, I'll be teaching at Walter Reed, which I've done for 30 years before it was the Navy Hospital. So I've taught physicians and dentists and researchers and had an astronaut or two in the class. So,
you were deployed overseas, too. You were in Bahrain for a while?
I was in Bahrain. I was in Thailand, Singapore. I've been Italy. Many times.
I assume that the order that you were in at the time had a mother superior. What did she have to say about this?
Well, she was exasperated, you could say.
You were the real life Maria from The Sound of Music, weren't you?
I gave them a run for their money. All right.
Yeah.
she asked me, both of them, because this happened twice, both to enlist and then to accept a commission. And so they sent me to talk to the peace and justice gurus, mm-hmm. which I did, and they couldn't talk me out of it. So it was, we support the church. The church is not perfect. And so, and we know something about that. Why don't we at least get into the service and see what it is before we rail against them?
Yeah.
That's my main rationale. And they went for it. So it was great. And So I'm still there. I enlisted in 1979, and I'm still teaching. I'll be teaching next month at Walter Reed. So
congratulations. That's remarkable.
It's great.
In the final few minutes we have left, tell us a little bit about the parish that you are serving now. You mentioned that you served for 16 years at Holy Cross Episcopal Church there in, that's in Homewood, Homewood section of Pittsburgh. You are now at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. Tell us a little bit about that parish.
Well, I always say we're small but mighty. And it used to be a much larger church, as many were. But we have outreach activities. We if your audience went to the Festival of Trees, they saw our
yes, we did.
Every year. We're there. We have a food pantry. We ring bells. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We ring bells into the Salvation Army. We had in October. We had a Socktober drive, so everybody brought socks and mittens and all that. November we had a food drive. February we're going to have a diaper drive. We host AAs and NA groups all the time. So we for a little parish, we do what we can, and the people are wonderful.
Join a parish? Because one of the things that I believe the Pew Research Foundation, which researches religions, has found is the fastest growing answer when they ask people what denomination are you is nuns. Not N-U-N-S, N-O-N-E-S.
Right.
And I talked to an increasing number of people my age and younger who have never stepped foot in a church. They don't know what to do. When do I stand? When do I sit? What book do I hold? What would they do if they came to your church for the first day?
Well, first of all, we're small enough so we would recognize them and work with them personally.
Okay.
And we would ask them if they know what's going on, and if they don't, we'd be happy to help them. And our people will help you with whatever you need. We have no paid staff other than our very part-time treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
So the volunteer group is just a wonderful cohesive community. It's a great group of people.
And if somebody, usually I believe the Episcopal Church, and we're just about out of time, but the Episcopal Church, like many churches, baptizes infants. But if somebody has received into the church and has never been baptized, they can be baptized as an adult and confirmed as an adult, correct?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the beautiful things about the Episcopal Church is even the sign says, the Episcopal Church welcomes you, welcomes everybody, welcomes. Yeah, that's for which we strive.
And certainly if they've come from any of the Western Christian traditions, Lutheran, Methodist, Roman Catholic, they're going to recognize a lot of the prayers. They're going to recognize even the lectionary is the same that is used in most of the Western churches.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Tell us again, your Christmas Eve service is when?
Christmas Eve is 7 o'clock, December 24th in our church in McKeesport.
And that's at the corner of Walnut and 8th Avenue down next to the post office in downtown McKeesport.
Right. Right, right, right.
And your regular Sunday service is when?
10 o'clock every Sunday. Y'all come.
Y'all come back now here.
We'd be happy to welcome everyone.
Reverend Dr. Moni McIntyre is priest in charge at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. They do stream their services online on Facebook at St. Stephen's McKeesport. You can find the website at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, at ststephensmckeesport.com. Reverend McIntyre, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Absolutely, Jason. Thank you.
Come back and talk to us at Eastertide, and we'll explain
the
difference. And we'll explain the difference to folks.
That'll be great.
And thank you. And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.